Dear Christian friends, God's peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The 1990s, Tracy Lippard won the Miss Williamsburg, Virginia beauty pageant. That med qualified her to run for the Miss Virginia USA. But on the day of the pageant, instead of driving to the pageant, she drove to her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend's house. She had decided she was going to kill her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. So she had a gun. She drove up to the girl's house. She knocked on the door. The girl's father answered, and she pulled the gun out. She didn't realize he was an ex-Secret Service agent. She was able to disarm her and call the police. And when the police arrived and asked her why would she plot such a terrible thing, she said, "I sought revenge so that I could have inner peace." Well, today we're talking about peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give you." It's not the peace of the world. It's not peace that comes from getting even or from revenge. And so Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." So what is the peace of Jesus? How is it different from the peace of the world? Well, we have peace through a loving relationship with God, and through that relationship, we practice forgiveness. And we believe that's the primary path to peace, is it starts with a loving relationship with God. Our peace comes from knowing God loves us, that God forgives us, that God accepts us for who we are, and that our sins are forgiven absolutely. We don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder about it. We don't have to think, am I good enough for God to love me? God loves us. And that's the basis. That's the foundation on which real peace is built. Because the truth of the matter is, that's not the way it works in the world. Often our relationships with people in the world is not based upon forgiveness and acceptance of who we are. You know, last week I was in the prison with the Kairos ministry, and one of the other pastors there was sharing his story of forgiveness. And he was saying he grew up in a family where he was abused by his father, both physically, but even more so emotionally. His father never had a kind word for him growing up. And later, he didn't even become a Christian till later in life, and then became a pastor. And he said for him, the process of forgiveness was a difficult one, and I loved it. He compared it to a beachhead on D-Day. He said, "The first time I told my father, 'I forgive you,' it was like establishing that beachhead." He said, it got it open, and I began to follow a path of forgiveness. But he said, that didn't solve all my pain from years of rejection and years of pain. But it was a beachhead. And he said, over time, he continued to pray for forgiveness, to pray for healing. And it was tough because his father would just write him off. His father didn't say, "Oh, I'm so glad you for." No, his father continued to be abusive to him, even as he sought forgiveness and reconciliation with his father. But the key, he said, was as his relationship with Jesus Christ grew, and as he was solid in that understanding of God's great love for him, the pain of the past was healed as he lived in the present moment of God's love and forgiveness. And so he said it started off like a beachhead, but he says as he practiced forgiveness, as he prayed for forgiveness, eventually all those old memories, that old pain began to pass, and the beachhead then spread until finally, and it took a process, until finally he was able to let go of those old resentments and truly forgive his father and let go of the pain from the past. And I appreciated that it said, even though we had faith, it doesn't mean that the pain just goes away. You know, you can, in the name of Christ, offer forgiveness to somebody, but that doesn't mean all of a sudden you've forgotten all that pain. But in time, as you pray, not only to forgive that person, but to heal the pain of it, that process, like that beachhead, slowly spreads out. And the more we're grounded in Christ, the more love we receive for Him, the greater the power then to be freed from the pain of the past. And so peace comes through the practice of forgiveness rather than desire for revenge. And let me say that again. Peace comes through the practice of forgiveness rather than the desire for revenge. Now, the second way that we have peace is we have the promise of eternal life. You know, one of the things that causes us the lack of peace is the uncertainty about the future. It's particularly when something comes up in our lives and we wonder what's going to happen that we then worry and we get all upset. And one of the things we know is that our eternal future is secure. We don't have to worry about our long-term future. With Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed. We have the assurance of everlasting life. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And so we don't have to fear, am I good enough? Will God let me in? No, God's already said, the work's already been done on the cross for you. Your future is secure. You know, as I was thinking about that whole future, I remember back when our daughter Rebecca was taking her SAT tests. And of course, that determines what schools you can get into and the like. And so we dropped her off for the test that morning. And when we picked her up, she came out sobbing. She was certain she had just flunked this test. She hadn't completed the last three or four questions. She was distraught because she thought her future was in jeopardy. Well, she did fine on the test, got into the school she wanted, and it is doing fine. But it's the thought is that when your future is uncertain, that's what causes the anxiety. And Jesus says, your future is certain. You don't have to doubt your salvation. It's been won on the cross. We don't have to take a test. Jesus fulfilled the test. He died on the cross for us, and because of what He did, our future is certain. So you don't have to worry about your long-term future. It's secure in Jesus Christ. And knowing your future is secure gives you peace now. And so that's one of the other key elements to having peace in our world, walking the path of peace, is continuing to hold on to that promise of God that eternal salvation is ours, not because we're good enough, not because we've earned it, but because Christ earned it for us, and we don't have to worry. The problem becomes between now and then. You know, because those things are uncertain. If anything, and I love the choir anthem on peace, there will be tribulations, that anthem said, and yet there is peace because Christ is with us in the midst of the tribulations. And that's so important when we think about worry. You know, the first thing to know about worrying is most of the things we worry about never happen. You know, they've done studies on that where, you know, what are the things you've worried about? And by far, not just 50% of the things we worry about, 90% of the things we worry about never happened. And even when we worry about them, it doesn't change the outcome if they do happen. And so Jesus reminds us, you know, don't worry. You think I care about you less than I care about the birds of the air or the lilies of the field? I take care of them. I'm going to take care of you. So just realize most of the stuff we worry about never even happens. You know, I love the story. I was in one of the magazines where a woman was almost every time they would leave for the day or go on vacation, they'd get a few miles away or a few minutes down the road and say, I'm sure I left the iron on. And they'd have to come back and they'd have to check to see that whether or not the iron in the stove was off. Well, finally, one day they were going on vacation about 15 miles down the road. And here goes the woman. Oh, I'm sure I left the iron on. We've got to turn back. So the husband pulled to the side of the road, popped the trunk, took out the iron. We worry about stuff we just don't need to worry about. But the other side of that is that when things do happen, Jesus is with us in the struggle. And that's the other thing we need to have. As Christians, we don't walk through this life alone. Jesus is with us in the struggle. You know, there was a tornado that hit Spencer, South Dakota a few years ago, killed several people, leveled much of this small town, and among those buildings leveled was St. Matthew Lutheran Church. It was a 100-year-old church. Sanctuary was practically leveled. And when the members went to go check on their church and what had happened, there in the middle of the sanctuary still stood the statue of Jesus, with his arms out and open. And the people, the story, you read it in the Lutheran, you know, says all of a sudden we knew. Here were all these troubles and all this devastation around us, and just seeing that statue of Jesus reminded us we're not alone. He's with us in the struggle. And they have since rebuilt that church. They've gotten on their feet, and God was with them in the process. And so tribulations will come, but we need to realize Jesus goes with us. His promise, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. His promise, where two or three of you are gathered, I'm in their midst. His promise, this is my body, this is my blood. He is with us here as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so when we worry or when we face struggle, we need to remember God goes with us in the midst of it. And although our short-term futures may be uncertain, what's certain is we're not alone. And what's certain is the long-term future is secure in Christ. So if we want to have peace, the key is have a loving relationship with God, a relationship that's based on forgiveness, His total complete forgiveness of us. And when we take that and practice that forgiveness, we'll find that in our relationships that aren't peaceful, where we have pain, the way to overcome it is in that love and grace of God. As He has shown us forgiveness, as that becomes the foundation, then we can have peace in our relationships with others. Peace, knowing your future secure. How much of our worrying is worrying about the future? It's secure. And for whatever few years we continue to have on this earth, we have an eternity with God. And you don't have to worry one iota about that. It's secure. Just remember, most of the things you worry about, and we're all guilty of it. We all do it. They're not going to happen. They're just not going to happen. We'll still worry, I know. That's part of the human condition. But just remember, the next time you do worry, you probably don't need to. But even if something bad happens, Jesus will be with you. You are not alone. If we keep these truths before us, if we cling to them in our lives, then we'll have that peace that Jesus gave to His disciples, and that peace He promises to us. Have faith. Be at peace. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, the way of the world is revenge, to get peace by getting even. You have given us a different peace. A peace through forgiveness, a peace through grace that goes on for eternity, a peace with the promise of your presence. Lord, give us your peace. Amen.